Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we're here to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars Mother Tucking Winners, Episode 6. And we are talking Given Out Stars, Y2K, and Dolly Parton. And I am very much looking forward to breaking this all down with my wonderful co-host, Aman Adwin. Aman, how are you?
I'm great. Enjoying this wonderful Father's Day / Juneteenth weekend. Mm-hmm. And watching Drag Race. What can I say? It's been a great weekend. I've had a good time.
Good. Yes. Yeah. Not a lot to complain about on my end either. I was just telling Aman I spent the whole day watching Love Island, catching up on the UK season. But no, Drag Race, all Drag Race here on our podcast. Now, of course, as you may hear or see, Beth is not with us today, but she will hopefully be back next week. So it's just going to be Aman and I going through everything. Okay, let's get into this. So we got a number of headlines to talk about. We've got a challenge, but I think the first thing we got to address is follow-up from last week, which was the giving away of the stars. So Jinx and Raja, because they won last week, now have the ability to give away two legendary legend stars. No, what are they called?
Yeah, that's
legendary legend stars. So, Mon, what did you think about their decision? So, Jinx gave the star to Jada and Raja to Evie.
Yeah, I looked back to see what we had said at the end of last week's podcast, and we were dead on. Mm-hmm. We said it would probably be Evie and most likely Jada after that, and was pretty much for the same logic that they came up with themselves. Of course, give it to the queen that doesn't already have one, because why mm-hmm. would you give? Why would you put someone in the lead or tie them up with you if you don't have to?
Right.
And then I guess for Jada, the logic behind that was you don't necessarily think that she's going to be a top contender for a lot of stars, which may or may not be their undoing in the end. Time kind of will tell. I mean, Jada is sort of a dark horse, so we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I was pleased because I'm rooting for Evie Oddly. I don't like the fact that her only star is gifted mm-hmm. at that point.
Right.
But at the end of the day, I know that I was making the point earlier that, you know, maybe giving out stars will decrease someone's value. But I don't know about that anymore, because at the end of the day, if the name of the game is get as many stars to get to the finale, then who cares how you get them? Just get to the finale. So mm-hmm. I'm good. Evie got a star. So I liked what happened.
Yeah, I mean, this is a banger episode for Evie, right? To go from zero stars to two in one episode. I mean, you really can't ask for anything else. So, and it's crazy because, she goes from being last to being tied for first, essentially. I mean, you know, it's her, Jada, and Jinx that all have two. So,
right.
Yeah, that's wild. And I mean, I think it's interesting that, you know, Jada being the one to get the other one, because we do have a design challenge coming up. And that was the episode where Jada got her first star, right? Was in the, mm-hmm. the ball challenge. So yeah, I mean, Jada could have three stars depending on what ultimately ends up happening this next week. But anyway, all right. Yes. So that's where we stand. And then going into the maxi challenge, we talked about this last week, but it is the live Y2K girl group fantasy flashback episode of MTV's TRL. So we have the girls in two groups that they got to form on their own. There's, of course, a little bit of drama associated with that. And then they had to record and perform their song. So, Aman, how did you feel overall about the challenge?
Yeah, I always love challenges like this. I'm a big fan of if there's one thing that I do like about the 2000s from what I remember, because I was a child back then. I don't really remember a lot, but I do remember Britney Spears, and I remember NSYNC, and I remember Backstreet Boys, and I remember a little bit of the Spice Girls. I remember all that stuff. Mm-hmm. I remember TRL, even though I was a little too young to really know what was going on. I remember it. So I was excited to see what they were going to bring, and I'm kind of lukewarm on both groups, but maybe that's just kind of what the 2000s were giving, and I was just too young to really see past it. I don't know.
No, I will say I was very excited for this episode. I mentioned it last week, and I didn't really get that like Y2K realness fulfilled for me with the looks and then the song. The second song, the Together Forever, gave me a little bit more of like the, you know, Y2K 2000s sort of vibe. But the first song, not really. I mean, I get that they were trying to throw in the jokes, you know, the like all of the sort of references, but the right. actual like music and the looks for me, like didn't 100% do it. I think part of that, I had high expectations, but like, I remember watching TRL. I remember coming home and like turning it on before my parents got home, because I was like so excited to watch TRL. I didn't want them to see. So yeah. And I watched this episode with my mother, and I like pointed her to, you know, some music videos. So we watched like some of Britney's early stuff. We watched Say My Name from Destiny's Child. I was like, this is what I wanted.
Yeah.
And I just really didn't like 100% feel that. I mean, overall, it was a fun episode. I think that the queens, you know, of course, like they're all very seasoned performers, but it just didn't scratch that Y2K itch for me.
Yeah, I think part of it was there was a lot of, well, you know what? We'll wait till we get to that part of it.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, first, so the groups, right? So the two songs, there was the breakup song Titanic, which is Monet, Raja, Trinity and Shay, or Mister. And then they had the love song Together Forever with Jada, Jinx, Evie, Viv, the other girls. Oh my God. I like, so the whole drama, of course, with how everything formed ended up giving like the other girls this whole wacky storyline that they all just ended up running with. It was like doing a comedy bit while also doing like Y2K realness. I was a little nervous for how it was going to turn out. So I was actually pleasantly surprised that it worked. It worked much better than I thought, because I was like, you're trying to do a performance and do a comedy sketch kind of like all at the same time.
Yeah, it was. I feel like it was a tall order. I thought that we were going to get the edit of here they go trying to make the best of a crappy situation. They've been thrown together in this hodgepodge group. Now they're going to find a way out of it. And the minute that the Vivian said, I want the critique to be, I have no idea what I just watched, but I loved it. I was like, when you go for that kind of critique, I feel like you leave a lot of possibility for a grand screw up. But it looks like it was a self-fulfilling prophecy, and they actually did what they said that they were going to do, which I think is pretty rare when it comes to this edit a lot of the time. So as far as how the groups formed, I definitely feel like there was a bit of a cool girls type of clique thing going on, where Shay and Trinity and Monet, maybe they sort of feel like they're like, oh, we're like the, you know, we're like the performers of the group. Like, you know, Jinx is great, but Jinx isn't really a performer. And Jade is kind of like there. And Evie's like great, but she's sort of like awkward. And like the Vivian, like, I don't even know about the Vivian. Yeah. So,
well, because the Vivian, I think that was her first time in the bottom, was the girl group challenge from her original season. So I'm sure they look at that and they're like, no. like, no, thank you.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a lot to contend with, because of course at this point in the game everybody wants to catch up and get a second star while they can, now that everyone has a star. So yeah, it's like with these challenges, you gotta try to win it, even if that means grouping up with people that you would later on consider competition down the line, because ultimately if your group does well, you could be helping out another queen that is going to do well in the end. So yeah,
I think Jinx's take of, well, pick what song you want to do and then go from there. But I think because there was already sort of the initial settling of the groups that it was like, it was too late for people, I think, to really change their mind. And because that group of definitely, I don't know about Raja, but definitely Shay, Trinity, Monet, it felt like they wanted to work together.
Yeah.
So it was like, yeah, whatever. We'll do the song that you guys wanted to do.
I'm surprised we didn't get more of that talk in the DR. Like they could have just been, I mean, because we know that Trinity and Monet are the winners. So I was surprised that they weren't giving that to us in the DR. We see it. We know what's going on. We know what's going on. And so does the Vivian. It's just like, okay, it just seems like we've sort of been just put together and not really sure how I feel about that.
Yeah, it was interesting that Viv was really the only one that we got to see. I mean, obviously she had the sort of strongest reaction to that, but it would have been interesting to hear what the other girls thought about, you know, the way that the things were.
She backed off so fast. She's like, oh, you know, no, I know we've been programmed to be the lovey-dovey season. So let me just put my head back into my hole. It's all good. I'm good. We're good.
Yeah. You've heard no critiques on the runway, even when Raja doesn't even know the words to her own lyrics that she wrote, but that's fine. Oh man. Yeah. Okay. So yeah, what else is there to say before we just get into the actual performances? The editing of the other girls singing, like the recording session, was so funny. I was dying. Like the interspersed, the modem noises with Jinx just holding on a note and Jada making fart sounds was just like,
which, what did that even make the final cut? The long note? I don't think it did.
Okay. So I didn't notice it the first time. Yes, it was like at the very end. You can barely hear it, but you can actually see Jinx like holding the note. Okay. But it's very difficult to hear. I thought it was going to be a bigger
whole thing.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. So the first thing when they started doing the performance, obviously you have Carson Gailey there, who is Ross Matthews, which I was like, well, could you have gotten Carson for Carson Gailey? But Ross Matthews in drag. Oh my God. I didn't recognize him. I genuinely didn't. I was like, did they get Carson Daly and he just like looks different now or what? I was genuinely shocked when Ross Matthews like looking like that. I don't know if it's like because, you know, he lost a lot of weight like recently. Mm-hmm. Was it the facial hair, the little soul patch thing for Carson Daly? Mm-hmm. I don't know. It was wild.
I must say, like, I was like, oh, okay. I felt what he was putting down. I got it. Like it was a nice
character.
It was an interesting departure. Yeah, I was like, I believed it too. For moments I like forgot it was Ross.
Yeah.
So well done, sir. Well done. Maybe Ross needs to start doing some acting or taking Carson Gailey on the road, because that was fun. Just bring TRL back and have him be the host.
I was going to say, like, if, you know, he wants a permanent gig at one of the drag shows in Vegas, he can be the host. I thought it worked really well. It was very surprising.
I was into it.
Oh, one other thing. Okay, I was talking to Mike Bloom about this. I don't know if you noticed it. Do you watch with the captions? Like the closed captioning?
So Paramount Plus with these damn captions, they're always like 10,000 years behind. And I just can't. It's so irritating and distracting, so I just don't do it. And half the time, the captions are incorrect. Like, that is not what that bitch just said.
My favorite is when it's just, like, Queen 1, Queen 2. Like, doesn't know their name. Like, you can put their names. But anyway, so I noticed it this week, and apparently it's happened before also, because sometimes I have captions, sometimes they don't. But Tuvalu, also, by the way, I have been saying that wrong. Tovlo, or whatever, is how I was saying it. So
the time before Friday is now known as BCP, before correct pronunciation, because the way that that has rocked the world, all of the gays and the girls, I could not escape this conversation surrounding Tuvalu's name. And the thing is like, I wasn't as gagged because I remember there was an interview that she was doing at some point, and I remember she said it. She was like, oh, actually, it's pronounced this way. But Tuvalu doesn't really come up in conversation for me, I don't. Right. I just didn't think about it.
Yeah.
But everybody else apparently had, like, and she tweeted as such. She was like, guys, this is not news. Like, I've talked about this already. I'm sorry. Tuvalu.
I was part of the group. I was part of the gays that found out that it was that's how you pronounce her name. I've never ever gotten a TikTok from her ever in my life, and it came across my front page like 2 days ago. I was like, yep, this is taking the world by storm. Anyway,
I love it.
She says in her intro, she says like zigga zigga.
Oh yeah, I heard about this. Yep.
Yeah, the captions, RuPaul said, I mean, I assume RuPaul, what did you call me? But the actual video, like, of Ru saying it is edited out, but it's still in the captions. And it's happened before, but the same joke, the what did you call me? It was during during Trinity's runway 1 week.
Yeah,
that was very exciting.
It aired in the UK. Like, if you go on the Wow Presents Plus edit for the episode, he says that. But if it's on the Paramount Plus, then it's gone, which I'm like, okay, so is Viacom thinking that that joke is too offensive.
Offensive? Yeah.
When I'm like, I don't think so. I mean, I feel like cutting it out just made the fact that Tuvalu and RuPaul were laughing at each other so stupid. It was like, what was funny about any of that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's weird. And because, yeah, so because it's the same joke, I'm like, oh, some exec somewhere is like, no,
they
like
just this
is
offensive. Skirt around any kind of like N-word or N-word,
yeah,
like related adjacent jokes. I personally find it, I found it funny. I thought it was hilarious.
Yeah, it's, whatever. I mean, yeah. Anyway, okay. So that controversy aside, all right. Titanic. So they were the first group to perform. So Monet, Trinity, Shay, and Raja. What did you think of their performance?
Yeah, I agree with what you said earlier. I feel like the song itself, which isn't really... Excuse me. Oh, my God. Oh, I have been drinking all this damn soda, y'all. I'm so addicted to it. It's so good. Like,
wait, what
you
is
might
it?
Not, you might not think that Flamin' Hot Mountain Dew is good. And I know that I probably just lost a lot of people, but it is so, like, think like spicy margarita, but soda. That's what it gives, okay? And it's so good. I've been drinking them, like, for the past, like, 3 weeks, and I just can't get enough.
Is it, is it Flamin' Hot, like, Cheetos Flamin' Hot? Or is it, like, different?
I think it's like the Code Red is the base flavor,
okay.
But it's got like that Flamin' Hot like zest to it. So it doesn't taste like the Cheeto, but there's like a hint of like that same sort of like heat to it.
Okay.
So it's I was very surprised when I thought it was going to just taste like the damn Cheeto, but it doesn't. It's like, it tastes great in like the best way possible. I love it.
Okay, it's a limited edition, so, you know.
Yeah, well, it's unlimited in this house, because I didn't have, like, 12 of them so far. Like, woo!
Oh, no. Puya bought Flamin' Hot Mac and Cheese. We haven't tried it yet,
So that is one thing that I'm a little afraid of that one.
I don't know, we'll see.
Afraid of that one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll have to let me know.
I like it. There's also, have you tried the Coke Starlight?
Starlight.
Yeah, what's there's Starlight? Like star. It's like, it's a new Coke flavor. It's like space flavored or something. What's it called? Starlight. Yeah, it's Coca-Cola's new Starlight flavor.
Oh, they just doing anything nowadays.
I tried it. I didn't like it.
What did it taste like?
It kind of reminded me of like vanilla cherry. Like it was like they took all of their Cokes and just mixed them together is how it felt.
They were at a restaurant and they just like did this thing where you go down the line.
Yes, that's exactly what it was.
And put a new wrapper on it. That's all they did. Same thing with Pepsi. Pepsi is like releasing, it's called Nitro, Pepsi Nitro.
Uh-huh.
And it's essentially Pepsi, but as if like you're pouring it from a beer tap and it has like foam on top. So it's basically
like
flat ass Pepsi.
With stout Pepsi.
Foam. Yeah. Flat. Yeah. It's disgusting.
Ew. Okay.
Yeah. Anyway. Together forever.
Yes. Together. No. Miss Titanic. What are we talking about?
Oh, Titanic.
Yeah. Titanic. Titanic.
Yeah. Sonically, I feel like the song wasn't giving me the early 2000s vibe.
Yeah.
It was definitely in that vein, but I do think that the next song is a lot better. I also think something that was taking me out of it was I don't think that the group was cohesive, which is interesting because that's what Evie assumed that the girls were going to do. They were like, we're pretty sure that they're going to serve you, you know, 2000s girl group realness. Like, they're going to just serve it up on a platter and give it to you each and every way. And first of all, the fashion didn't really give me 2000s girl group.
Yeah.
And then on top of that, I felt like none of them really sang. Most of them rapped, which isn't bad. Like, rap, you know, rap and R&B is a huge 90s, 2000s thing as well. So, but I just feel like in terms of like a pop group, and I feel like there has to be more musicality to it and then rap sprinkled in. Like, it has to be TLC and Left Eye is the rapper. It can't be all of you are Left Eye. Like, it doesn't work that way for me. So, I felt like the lyrics that they chose, yes, they were trying to be witty and clever with all of the dial up and the pagers and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I just felt like it sort of became a little bit too heavy handed and I just wasn't relating to it as much as I would have liked.
Yeah, I wish I had a higher quality version, but here, I mean, here's a still from their looks. I also totally agree. I feel like this is like pop now, or
yeah,
like 2010s is more the vibe that I get. I mean, they look stunning, but clearly they were not prepared for that. Like, I just don't think that they had the looks really for this challenge, which either I'm like, okay, were they like not prepped for this? And so they didn't know what they needed to bring. Like, they didn't know there was going to be like a 90s throwback challenge, or this was what they interpreted it as, which when Trinity was like, I know low cut jeans, I was like, yes, that's all. I mean, the super like low cut jean look. Or just mm-hmm. low cut pants in general. Like, yes, that's what we're going for. So for everything here to be high waisted, I'm like, no.
Yeah.
You should have listened to Trinity. Raja looks stunning. Oh my mm-hmm. God. Her versatility as a makeup artist is just so outstanding. I mean, they all look good, but Raja was like glowing. Again, despite not knowing her own lyrics.
Yeah. But Monet is giving me like a little bit of Nicki Minaj type. Like, yeah. Like,
yes.
You're right. It is giving a lot of 2010s. And I mean, because it was the song, because the song was supposed to be about what? Like just like falling in love and then crashing like the Titanic. And
mm-hmm.
and I guess that's what they were serving in the lyrics, I guess. So maybe I'm gonna be a little too harsh, but something just didn't land for me. I don't know.
Yeah, something just didn't land for me either. I mean,
they were all over the place too. I feel like they weren't like cohesive enough as a group. And I guess part of that was like part of like the whole shtick of it all, because during the interview session, Shay's like, oh yeah, I'm going solo. But even I was just like, it just didn't feel right. I don't know.
The TRL session for them was just weird. Like you're right. It didn't necessarily feel cohesive. It feels like what they just went for a ton of references, which is definitely right. Like, yeah, sure. Okay. Like too busy T9 texting. That's one of Monet's lines. Kathy Lee dumped Regis. You're the weakest link, mm-hmm. you know? And then Trinity's was just all about Justin Timberlake. And
which, yeah, doesn't make much sense for me.
I don't know. It just, if you're going to do realness, I just didn't like necessarily get that. I mean, so Shea Coulee's was what's wrong, boo, you CD skipping. right. So again, like more, because oops, I did it again. It was like very referential to the, which I mean, look, they all at least sort of had a similar idea of what they were trying to do, I guess. But I don't know. Right. It didn't really hit for me.
Yeah. I didn't realize. I mean, I don't think that Raja is like, I know that the whole joke about Raja being old is like a thing this season.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't necessarily think that she's old. But then when she, I did have like a big reaction when she was in the confessional. She was like, yeah. So like all of these girls were probably in their teens, they were teenagers during the 2000s. I was like a full-fledged grown adult, like in the club. So I was like, oh, wow, wait, hold up, how old are you again? Like,
well, because she
grown up in the 2000s. But then again, I guess that makes sense. So
she graduated in what, 1990? Because she's 58.
She's
48.
I was gonna say, no way she's 58.
Yeah, no. I meant 48. I was going to say she's almost 50. She's 48. And then that got merged together into one. But wow. Yeah, anyway. And look, you and her, neither of you really remember the 90s, but for the same reasons or for different reasons, I mean. So,
yeah.
All right. Is there anything else that you want to say about Titanic? It was fine.
Titanic was fine. It was simply fine. Yeah.
It was simply fine. Okay, let's talk about Together Forever.
Together Forever.
Yes. Okay. This is when I was like, this song is better, is because I had the exact same reaction. It was stuck in my head.
Yeah. Anyway, you fall apart. Mm-hmm. Like it's just like it's sonically, mm-hmm. it's just mm-hmm. a better song. It's very reminiscent of the dun dun, like
yes.
Britney, NSYNC, oh yeah, like that's all of that is like in there. Like it's they. I think that's a huge reason, which isn't necessarily, you know, props to the Queens because they didn't really. Well, I mean, well, they did choose it. They did choose the song.
They chose it. Mm-hmm.
You know, if I were. Yeah, I mean, I gotta say, if I were sitting on that couch and Jinx was like, all right, choose the song that speaks, I'd be like, bitch, this one. Like, this is the one. This is the hit, okay? So, yeah, in that regard, good for their judgment. And I do think that even in the mess of all of the ideas, even in the cacophony that was all of their characters, I think they did have a more cohesive story because of the fact that they were grouped together and they were like the other girls. They're the failures of the group. And I think that their lyrics were simply better because they didn't feel so we're a pop girl group in the 90s. We are, you know, trying to throw as many, or 2000s, we're trying to throw as many references in there as we can. Like, I mean, Jada entered this writing session with like a clear cut point of view of I'm the girl that needs to rap and also use the bathroom, but I'm also going to talk about how we're going to be together forever, but you're not my number one, you're my number two. Like, it was all very, like, it all made sense. And then Evie being this robot girl and trying to, for pure robot domination, like, everything just felt, everything they said they were going to do, they were going to do. They did it. So... Mm-hmm. It made sense for me.
The Evie line from her starting of, yeah, I'll just be like the bumbling one that doesn't know what they're doing, to turning into a malfunctioning robot that needs to be restarted halfway through the performance is not the story arc I expected. But,
nah, not at all.
Yeah, I don't know. It just, for some reason, it just kind of worked. I don't know if that's maybe because like the other one, I expected it to be you know, more like spot on, whereas this, they weren't necessarily trying to do that because they were kind of going for this bit. So, or yeah, I mean, I definitely agree with the fact that the song felt just so much more Y2K than the other one. So that might have been the sole reason.
I will say that their outfits are kind of also not really giving that look. I think that they all kind of failed in that respect.
Yeah, I agree. Maybe they just weren't told that they needed something like 2000.
Right.
None of them had really anything close for me. Again, they all look good. It's just, it doesn't scream 2000s. So the two winners also come from this group. So we have the Vivian and then Evie. Who, you know, obviously end up getting star. Well, Vivian doesn't get a star because she's blocked, but they end up, you know, being the winners. And I think that was probably the correct decision.
Yeah, I remember because I watched it in the morning that Friday, and so it was kind of a little groggy. And I saw a bunch of people tweeting, you know, all throughout the day. And there was a large contingent of people that I'd seen saying, I feel like Monet was robbed. And then I watched it again yesterday to prepare for the podcast. And I was like, I don't think she was. I think that this is fine. Like, I think that this was the stronger group in general. Mm-hmm. And I think out of the stronger group, Evie and the Vivian had more pronounced characters. I think that Jinx definitely delivered what she said she wanted to deliver. I just don't know if it necessarily translated well for this challenge. Mm-hmm. I think that this is, you know, this is one of Jinx's weak points. Like, she's not really that type of showgirl. So she had to try to find a way to make it her own. And she did that, but it wasn't necessarily the challenge. So, yeah, I think that this was fine.
I thought she was going to paint herself older. I was like, if you're going to go for the, like, I'm the old lady of the group, really go for it. Like, I don't know, I expected a little bit more from that. But I also think part of the choreography that was like the, because it's together forever. And then they had the very sharp, like, hand motions that felt very 90s or, you know, 2000s choreography. So that also just kind of fit. Yeah, I think if anybody, Shay, to me, did the best of the other group. But I agree with you that this group was just overall stronger.
Totes my goats.
Totes. Okay. So, we have the looks to go through.
The lurks.
Let me pull those up real a quick. All right. Now? So here's the other thing I will say about the fact that they did. It was like a 90s girl group challenge. And then the Night of a Thousand Dolly Partons, which felt like two completely different things.
And yeah,
I wanted more center. I wanted like the Dolly Parton one to be like, I don't know. I know it makes sense because it's not like, oh, like Spike. So what does that have to do with the actual episode main challenge? But it just felt like the Night of a Thousand Dolly Partons. It would have been nice to just have the whole episode but like be super cohesive, to have like some other time period. Like you could even do like a 90s look and then do like a 2000 song or something for the lip sync. It just felt like two very completely separate episodes. I don't know why. Like my brain just couldn't process it. It was like you're doing something in the 2000s and then you're going to do Dolly Parton. It just like, I don't know. It didn't vibe for me.
Yeah, it was a very disjointed episode. You got them doing Y2K stuff. None of them are really dressed like it. One of the songs doesn't even sound like it.
Yeah.
Then you have this Dolly Parton mess going on. And then you got Tuvalu over there. And her name is all of a sudden not Tuvalu anymore. And then you don't even use one of her songs as the as a lip sync song. Like, give me some bikini porn. If you guys don't know the song Bikini Porn by Tuvalu, like, oh, it's such a good pop song. Oh, I love it so much. I was really hoping we would do it, but they gave it to Dolly instead, which I guess makes a little bit of sense, but not really. Like,
yeah, do it on an episode where there's not a singer there. I always feel bad when certain singers, and they're on the show and their songs get used and then other ones are on and it's like a completely, totally like...
Yeah, it's like, what are you doing? Like,
did she not give her music like... I mean, why would you not?
I feel like they've definitely done Tuvalu's music before. Mm-hmm. I feel like they have.
Yeah, and clearly, I mean, look, she went all out with her pioneered Pirate of the Caribbean dress and her cake hat. Like, clearly, she's very much in this. And in Untucked, when Trinity was talking about, I've done, you know, this song, and this song, like, obviously, she's very into it. So whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
Fine. All right. So let's completely switch gears and talk about Dolly Parton. We'll start with Monet this week. So, I'm not going to lie. This was probably, apart from maybe the Vivian, this was my favorite Dolly Parton look. I just think this coat is absolutely stunning. And she looks so good here.
It is very pretty. And I recently came across the story behind this today. I didn't realize. Actually, also, it was kind of funny because I was, I've also been... As we've been going through All Star 7, I've been going back and looking at the seasons for each queen as they won. And so I started with All Stars 4 just to knock two birds with one stone. And I watched the episode recently where they had to bring their best Judys in the competition to make them over. And of course, Monet's assistant, Patty, was her best Judy. And so Patty's mom sewed this dress like as she was like sick. And so she recently passed, and this was like one of the last things that she was able to do while she was still here. And so, yeah, just to know like how much love and support like went into this dress, just sort of like made it more special to see it on the runway. So, yeah, it's really beautiful. I'm always like a little like, ooh, how are they going to do this? Like for some, I always worry for some queens on certain runways whenever they have to impersonate another queen of a different race. So like when there's a black one that they're impersonating and then we have a bunch of white girls or Asian girls that aren't as dark, I'm like, cool, how are they gonna do that? And then vice versa, like, is it easier to see the white queens as Dolly than a black queen? But I feel like there's still like, it's, you know, even if you can't necessarily paint like that particular celebrity, you can still like embody that essence of that celebrity. And I feel like everyone brought like a slice of Dolly, and I definitely felt it when Monet walked down the runway with this dress.
Yeah, I think to the like the eyeshadow colors and everything just go really well. Like potentially purposefully strategically like picked something that she knew would look good on her as well.
Right.
That's not just Dolly, but it's both, you know, can function as both.
Right.
Okay, let's talk about Trinity, who had like a very comedic interpretation. I think her and Evie both did the same. Not gonna lie, it was a little jarring at first. I was like, you kind of look like you're having a stroke. This doesn't really look like Dolly Parton. It's a little messy. Didn't know if that was on purpose. I assume it was based on her action.
Yeah, because so the lipstick is purposefully messy, right? Like,
yeah, and the eyeliner too. Like, it goes. It goes out really far. I don't know. What's
on purpose? Yeah.
She kind of looked like she was driving and doing her makeup and hit a bump. Like,
I mean, I haven't really followed Dolly extensively, so I only really know like the really, really simple stuff about her. I don't know. Is she like, does she have like a messy side? Is she like known for like getting a little fifty sometimes? Like, is that a thing with Dolly?
I mean, not like this. It was definitely, I mean, the Vivian to me was like a spot on Dolly impersonation. So if you want to know like what it kind of looks like, she's obviously very over the top, but it's less like manic.
Right.
Which is what both Evie and Trinity gave me. For Evie, I don't know, it just fits with her personality. And for Trinity, it just felt a little bit out of place. But, you know, I mean, the dress is gorgeous. So.
Yeah, the dress is gorgeous. Always exquisite taste from Trinity.
Yeah. And, you know, it's interesting because, like, Dolly does drag, right? Like, her hair is fake.
Dolly is a drag queen. Yes,
exactly. And so it's interesting to, I almost wanted even more. You have to do even more. Bigger titties. Like, the breastplates were in full effect tonight, but I was like, bigger. Mm-hmm. If you're going to drag up someone who does drag, you have to, like, push it like crazy.
Right.
But anyway, okay, so Shea Coulee doing a little bit of a different Dolly take, but you can definitely see the similarities with the outfit that she chose.
Yeah, it was giving Dolly, I mean, I think she said it correctly. I think Dolly dipped in chocolate, like it was giving me, Dolly got kidnapped by one of her girls from Brooklyn, and they gave her like a little bit of a makeover, and they were like, okay, this is how we get down over here, okay? Like, you are not in the South anymore, honey. And that's kind of what it gave me. I feel like it was definitely a melding of Shay's proclivities with Dolly, which I don't necessarily know if that's the assignment, but she still looks good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think for me, the wig was the only thing that was a little off, but otherwise I liked her interpretation of it. It's exactly what you said. It's the mixing of the Shay. It's not a direct impersonation.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's talk about Araja, who has on a gajillion wigs here. I mean, the dress is so stunning. I think she looks absolutely beautiful. It still didn't like, you know, quite do, you know, as solid of an impersonation, especially when you compare to the person we're going to talk about next, Vivian. But I thought it was good.
Yeah, I think so too. I think the hair is definitely the centerpiece for this. And the paint is a little too ghostly for me, but you know, Dolly is a pale woman, so.
Yeah, it's the under eye concealer. It looks like she has setting powder and forgot to brush it off before she walked out there. Like, it's a very stark contrast. Maybe it's the lighting, but that is the one thing that definitely looked a little bit off. Okay, Vivian. I mean,
okay, yeah, with this side by side, I definitely see it more now. Yeah,
her makeup, and you know, maybe she already kind of looks like Dolly a little bit. Maybe that helps. I don't know. The face shape, like, definitely we'll talk about when we talk about Jinx, that her face shape is just different. So it doesn't like quite translate as well. But here, I thought also just the mannerisms were so good. And part of me wonders if she was chosen for the lip sync because it was a Dolly song and like she could be a Dolly Parton impersonator, I think.
Right. Yeah, I definitely I see it, like, little nose thing that she's got going on, the contour, the hair, even like the facial expression. I feel like I've definitely seen Dolly smile like that before. Yeah, it's I see it. Mission accomplished.
Again, bigger titties. I wanted bigger titties, but That's okay. I'll take
bah,
it.
Bah, 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 boom.
And now part of me, I think I saw, where did I see this? I saw somebody, it was either Twitter or Reddit, that was like, do you think she's the Vivian said, I never wear blue, knowing that she's got like 15 blue looks, because she has worn blue. This is what, the fourth or fifth time now?
Yeah.
Despite saying I don't wear blue. I know we talked about it last week, but I just wanted to mention it again. Cause she's wearing blue again.
If she wears it again next week, then we know what's up.
Yeah, it's a conspiracy theory. All right. Jada Essence Hall getting the most out of her breastplate this week, jiggling those things around.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really get a lot of Dolly from this. It kind of just looked like Jada in yellow to me. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Maybe it's the paint. And even the boobies, I feel like we're just like not big enough. Either, like, I feel like the boob should not, like, your rib cage should not be seen. Like, I feel like you need to have like some big old melons just sitting right there, okay? And then maybe I'll get a little bit more Dolly. But it did, and even the energy, like, as I'm remembering her walk,
mm-hmm.
I don't know. I just didn't get Dolly. And like I said, I know it's a little harder for the chocolate girls, because you know their physical barrier is there, but mm-hmm. even so, I feel like it's still possible if you give the energy, and I didn't get the energy from her.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think the reference picture does her a little dirty. I mean, I don't know if this is the actual dress, like this gold dress is the actual dress that she was trying to replicate, mm-hmm. but I mean, her dress is yellow, this one is gold, the fringe you can't quite see, the silhouette is different. Like, there's just so much different about the look that I think she was trying to go for, and I think that also kind of throws me off of it, you know, yeah. not like completely fitting Dolly. I mean, she's got the, you know, got the red nails, got the blonde mm-hmm. hair, is going for it, but you know, Jada does Jada, but it just mm-hmm. yeah, it didn't really like 100% come across as Dolly to me.
Right.
Okay, Jinx Monsoon. Okay, so this is where I want to say there's something about the shape of the hair and the lack of the contour on her jawline. She does not look like Dolly to me. Her face looks so round with the round wig. It just like makes her face also look round. And Dolly has that like really well-defined jaw. So I was not getting Dolly from her.
Yeah, and she's the cinching, I think, yes. could have been a little bit more severe
yeah.
To really give us that shape. To be honest, I thought it was Trixie Mattel for a second. I thought it was Trixie Mattel in like her little album cover, Two Birds, whatever the hell that album is called. Yeah, yeah. I was like,
yeah.
So yeah, I not Dolly, not Dolly for me, Jinxie.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
Yeah, and the I mean again the like I get because what was it that they called? It was like the Untucked clip where they said that it was very oh my God, what's the word I'm thinking of? Like, important, like Rue and Carson or Rue and Ross were both like, oh, this is like such a an important era of Dolly for me. The work at 9 to 5, like when she was like truly a country star. Mm-hmm. And so obviously they had kind of an emotional connection. And I was like, I don't this isn't like quite doing it for me, but okay. Sure. Sure. Okay, and the last look to talk about is Evie Oddly, also being just an odd one this episode, all in
yeah,
all.
Yeah, it was odd. you could tell that this is not Evie in the slightest, and I feel like that's what made her really, really go for it on the runway. I mean, mm-hmm. she said as such in the confession, like, this is not me at all, but I'm... going to give it my all. And the walk that she did, man, like, I thought that she was going to keep walking. I thought she was going to walk right off the runway and onto the floor. It was so, the pep in her step.
Mm-hmm.
Holy hell.
This is definitely Evie's interpretation, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, it's gorgeous. The white looks really, really good on her. And she's going for it. I think it's, you know, it's always tough when queens have sort of a really limited aesthetic, I mean, like range, right? Because like typically when you have a challenge that's like spikes, okay, you can do whatever you want with spikes. But mm-hmm. here you have to pick one person. So you're limited to the range that you can choose from depending on who that person is. So, you know, all the props to Evie for really going for it and putting her unique twist on it. You know, now that we're talking things through, here's what they should have done. They haven't done Britney or Christina, right, yet. So Night of a Thousand Britneys. Have they done Britney? No, they've done Madonna, Cher. Madonna and Cher?
They've done Madonna. They've done Cher. They've done Gaga. I don't think they've done Britney.
Yeah,
I think what's throwing me off is because of Derek Barry, and there obviously have been many Britney references on the show, so it makes me feel like collectively mm-hmm. there have been a thousand Britneys, but I don't think that there has been.
Yeah, they did J-Lo, but I think that's the only.
Yeah, they've done J-Lo. They did J-Lo for season 14.
Yeah, they should have done Night of a Thousand.
That's why they do a celebrity every season, right?
Well, they started more recently. Right. Well, they did. I think the first one was.
Was it Gaga in season
Gaga nine? Gaga in nine when she was the guest judge.
Okay.
For that first episode. Oh, no. Season eight, because the kimono gate.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Madonna and they all did kimonos.
Yes. I think that was the first one.
Okay.
That I can remember. But anyway, that would have fit thematically with the episode and it would have.
Yeah. It should have been Britney.
Should have been Britney. Would have felt a little less jarring. Also, I don't know if you noticed, but when Rue was describing the challenge and was describing that, it's MTV's TRL, she listed, think Destiny's Child, Britney, Xtina, Eden's Crush. Like, one of these things is not like the other.
He just had to just throw some obscure ass shit in there just because.
Like, isn't that Nicole Scherzinger's like old group?
Whatever. Yeah.
Like, okay. That was a choice. It was nice to see Leland back. Leland and Freddie, I thought they were fun in the recording session.
Yeah, it was. They know how to pull some stuff out of the queens.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we talked about this, but the top two, Vivian and Evie, Viv. And so the song that they're going to get is Why'd You Come In Here Looking Like That by Dolly Parton. I was excited for Evie to lip sync. This is just not her song, you know? It just wasn't.
Yeah, yeah. I liked the song though. I was like, because I'd never heard it before. I was like, oh my goodness, I like this Dolly song. I have a little bit of Dolly on my repertoire. That was not one of them. So I did download the song after that. But yeah, I feel like some of the lip sync songs this season have been sort of like out of left field, which isn't always a bad thing because I feel like sometimes you get stuff like, you know, the first one with Shay and Monet with Oh McDonald, and that turns out to be like, oh my god, it's like the most amazing thing ever. And sometimes you get this song, which isn't shade to Dolly, but I don't necessarily know if the queens were equipped to handle it. And we know how I feel about when there's songs that queens are not equipped to handle.
I felt like the Vivian, because she really had the impression down, it worked for her. Mm-hmm. But I just felt like Evie was still kind of doing this the comedy thing. And I don't think that necessarily translated for me. So when you have sort of like one person that's doing a very intense impersonation, like has the mouth movements down really and everything, like just felt very Dolly. And then to have sort of the comedy take to me, like that didn't quite hit in the same way.
Right.
So I think to me, the winner was obvious. The Vivian should take this. And then also, of course, we get the drama of blocking as the person who was just blocked. And so, you know, that also for the like the drama of it all, I think that it also worked out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes. OK, so what do you think about the decision for the Vivian to block Jinx?
Right on. That's what you should do. I mean, you have effectively opened this war between the two of you. I don't know why you decided that you were going to tell Jinx that you were thinking about blocking her last time, which only made her block you. But now you have to block her right on back. Because clearly, you know, it's getting down to the wire. They were talking about it before. This is the halfway point. You only have, three or four more challenges to get in. So, yeah, block her ass now. Do it now while you can.
Because, I mean, they were talking about that, like, they're at the halfway point, right? So you kind of have a sense. I think I would, I don't know. Like, I'm trying to think if she would have known that it would have been a design challenge. Like, could you have predicted it was going to be a design challenge? Because obviously that's not Jinx's strong suit. And so she doesn't have to worry about her winning a star for a design challenge. You know, based on what episodes we've had so far. But I don't know. How could you know? You kind of have to.
How could you know?
Could you know? You kind of just have to pick somebody that has two stars, and Jada is your only other option, right? Because Evie was the other top two this week. She's got two stars, but she can't be blocked. So if you're going to block somebody that has two, you have to either pick Jada or Jinx. And Jinx is the only one who won both her stars, right? Mm-hmm. Because Jada won one and was given one. So
on one hand, this also works out because, like, you know, if you sort of like continue this feud with Jinx, it makes people, other people less inclined to block you because they're like, I don't have to do that because you and Jinx are clearly going at it. So I'll just let y'all keep doing that to each other. And, you know, maybe that, you know, helps her garner a little bit of like goodwill with the rest of the queen. So I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I kept going back and forth on it because I think part of me, I totally see that logic of, well, then, you know, no one else is going to really look at you because they're like, oh, like those two are in a feud. They're just going to keep blocking each other, like whatever. But then on the other hand, you will always be a target for Jinx. And Jinx has obviously proven that she's going to win a lot. So do you want to necessarily be like the one target for her, you know, because you're so like blatantly going after her and developing this rivalry and this feud. But on the other hand, she is the queen that's the best at the kind of your area, your shtick. And so, and she's got two stars. And it would be, again, between her and Jada would be the only two that you could block that have, you know, that have two stars.
Right.
So I don't know. I kind of went back and forth on it of like, maybe you take this as an opportunity to bury the hatchet and be like, look, you know, I said I was going to, I'm not going to do it. But she also got blocked by Jinx. So it's a tit for tat kind of thing. And, you know, she did, like you said, she meant, like Viv mentioned, I would have blocked you, but you were not available. So it's like, you might as well just go through it. If you're going to say it, just go through with it. And you've already been blocked by her. So I guess I get it. But but anyway, so all right. So that means that Jinx next week will not be able to win. Well, she can win, but she can't get a star. But it kind of doesn't matter because, as I mentioned, it's going into a design challenge. And so I'm not sure I 100% understood this correctly, but they have to create a legendary legends look, but a look based on one of Rue's looks. Or did I make that up?
I think that's what he said. Basically, like they're recreating RuPaul looks.
Yeah, okay.
That's what they're doing. It's the night of a thousand Rues, but you're making it instead of having someone else make it for you.
Right. All right. Anything else, Amon, that you want to say about this week's episode?
No, I'm having a lot of fun as per usual. When they were talking about it being the halfway point, I was like, oh, damn, already? Like, it didn't feel that way. We're already, like, seven episodes into this thing? That's crazy.
I know.
I mean, apart from the theory that I postulated at the beginning of this, I don't really know who's going to win. Because if you can go from having zero stars to having two stars in one episode, then... And I'm still of the impression that there will probably be some twist later down the line where it's like, you get to steal a star. I feel like that's going to be a thing. So this is very much up in the air.
Right. I mean, it's, let's see. Yeah. So Evie, Jada, and Jinx have two. Everybody else has one. That's 11 stars so far that have been handed out. So we could very much see a tie going into the finale, which then I don't know how that would work. If it would be based on like lip sync wins, Trump's just being in the top two. So for example, like Trinity's got two wins, but I believe she was blocked, so she didn't get a star, but she has no lip sync wins, whereas the Vivian has won both the lip syncs for the challenge, you know? So, or like, are they gonna let the queens decide? I genuinely have no idea, but I could absolutely see a tie just based on the fact that we have now everybody is tied for either first or last, I guess.
Yeah.
So we
maybe a Lollapalooza or something. I don't know.
Oh my God. Could you imagine if they did a lip sync Lollapalooza to determine the people that will participate in the lip sync Lollapalooza?
Yeah. The lip sync for the lip sync.
Do you think they already recorded the lip sync? Or do you think it's going to be a live finale?
I feel like, well, for All Stars, no, I think it's probably already recorded because they don't really have live audiences for All Stars, right?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I don't think
it's
we've
probably
seen
already
that yet.
In the bag. They probably recorded a bunch of finales already. And we'll just find out when they do. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Very exciting. Well, we will be here to cover everything from the next episode going into episode 7, Legendary Legend Looks. We will see what the Drag Race gods have in store for us. Okay. So, Aman, where can people find you? What are you doing? What's going on with you?
You can find me everywhere at Aman Adwin. My social media break is no more. And yeah, that's it. I'm still just mainly just Drag Race for right now. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Same for me. You can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP, podcasting about, yeah, Drag Race. I'm going to be a guest on the 90 Day Fiance podcast next week. Not this week, but next week. So I'm really excited. I think next week. I don't know. I'll ask my husband. So that should be really fun. I'm excited to do kind of a mid-season checkup with 90 Day Fiance and talk about all of that with Puya. So if you would like to support us and help us out, you can leave your star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes. robhaswebsite.com/dragrace. And yeah, that does it for us today. So thank you to Scott St. Pierre for all your help behind the scenes, and we'll talk to y'all soon. Bye.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.